Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Tom Nagy with the crown topic of the day. Started the show talking about the comments from Giants owner John Mara last night. And basically, BT saying that nothing's going to change with Shane and Dable. He doesn't anticipate anything after the year, certainly not changing during the year. And this, to me, was necessary just to get the writers and media members that were looking. And remember, after, I think it was week 3, I came on saying, enough with the witch hunt for Brian Dable. And I feel like that's what it was. And with the Giants' record going the wrong way after an embarrassing performance from the Eagles, maybe this was needed. He was out in an event watching the show of his father, so it wasn't like he was going out looking to get this out there. But when discussing it, he gave the old vote of confidence, and I do believe it's a legitimate vote of confidence, and I think it's the right move from John Mara.
I believe it's legitimate as well for now. I believe that he means it now. I don't know that he's married to it. Quote, not making any changes this season, and I don't anticipate making any in the offseason. But there's one key word. I've said it every time this comes up, and that's the word anticipate. The Giants have been an embarrassment for a long time. I mean, long time. And I remember saying a while ago that outside of 2022, this is like the Giants of the 1970s. And I remember hearing that because I didn't see the Giants play in the 70s. I started watching sports in early 80s. But, of course, historically, I know what they were, and it wasn't good. And outside of 2022, this is pretty much 1970s Giant football, which was awful. He wants to end it, right? They're on track for another losing season, which will be 10 and 12 years. I mean, that is just abominable. That's bad. They drafted the wrong quarterback, obviously. They extended the wrong quarterback as well. And it didn't end well with Coughlin. The optics there were very bad. You know, it was McAdoo, didn't work out. Less than 2 years out. Shermer.
Right.
Joe Judge. Like, it's been a very ugly cycle. I think John is motivated desperately, which I respect, to separate himself from that and open a new book here, so to speak. And I think by doing this, it certainly calms down some of those dissenting voices for now. And I'm not a dissenting voice. I'm just more, I don't know if these guys are the answer down the road. Nobody really does, but
well, we got to figure it out. He hired him.
Yeah, true. But, you know, you're comfortable with saying that you believe in Dable.
But that's me.
You know, I got you.
But
I'm not even saying that. Right, like, I'm not so sure if I don't know if that's not really, I'm kind of like, right. I don't know. I got to see what happens the rest of this year.
Oh, understood. It's also not blind belief. Like, I could give you a reason when you say, well, why do you believe in Dable? Because I just believe he's the right coach for this team based on what I've seen him do with relatively nothing to work with. And even the way he's evolved here in year 3. I also like his temperament and his mindset, his attitude, all of those different things. I believe the biggest problem is Daniel Jones. I don't think anybody could judge fairly on a general manager after 3 years. And by the way, it's not like this general manager, even why I have issues with some of his picks, you know, Evan Neal, whatever, Jalen Hyde, we could go over it. It's not like he drafted a running back number 2 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dave Gettleman just did some things. While he also had some good players that had led the Giants to some success,
yeah.
Dave Gettleman just did things that were idiotic. Even hiring Shermer, who, by the way, wasn't a bad football guy, he's just not a head coach in New York, no less. So I believe in Dable. I need to see more about Shane, but if ownership hired these guys, and they did, then you need to let it play out. You can't just be changing every couple of years. If the record is bad in year 5 again, or maybe even year 4, you start to change your mind where, you know, if they get their new quarterback and you don't see signs of improvement, then you make that decision. This is not the time to be talking about changing the regime already.
I agree to an extent. I think if ownership were to be impulsive at the end of the season, and I mean like they avoid like the 40-3 home losses, which
right.
they probably will, and they just squeeze out a couple of wins, beat Carolina, maybe, split with the Commanders, you know, maybe something, maybe beat the Colts. And it's like, okay, no need to be impulsive and fire him. It's crazy, though. You talk about you talk about the Giants, and this is how deep-rooted their problems are. It always starts with, you know, with the quarterback, right? And then it goes to the names that I mentioned, the Shermers, the McAdoos, but then it goes into Gettleman, then it goes to the back end of Jerry Reese. Like, this is deeply rooted. There's no accident that the Giants stink. I mean, they stink because everybody's made a litany of mistakes, including...
For years. Right.
Basically for a decade. So, I guess the only thing that I feel a little differently about, in addition to what we just said, I'm less committed. I know you're not all in on those guys, but I'm less than that. People need to understand the presentation yesterday, the power of that, and maybe I'm overthinking this. It's very different, Sal, than him calling up the Giants PR person or their team and say, hey, listen, I need a press conference. I've got to dispel the notion that I'm unhappy with them. I've got to project positivity because I believe in them. Set up the press conference, 9 a.m., MetLife, wherever, practice facility, let's go. He didn't do that. He went to the Paley Center to watch a movie about his dad, the great Wellington Mara, and he was asked by reporters who always typically have access to those events about the job status of both Shane and Dable.
Right.
And that is different than him preemptively setting it up to do it.
Which I almost think would be worst case scenario if you have to preemptively do it. Then you know what's gotten bad. I think this has been
a witch
hunt.
It's more powerful.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You're the one setting the agenda.
There's no need to do it.
Think about this, though. If they didn't ask him.
It's year three. Like, it's almost ridiculous. Year three of a regime that actually went to the playoffs in year one. Like, this is not Joe Judge or Pat Shurmur or Dave Gettleman. This is different than that.
I do believe that it's different. I do. But I don't think it's irresponsible. Maybe when it was asked after week two.
Right.
That was ridiculous. That was early. But if there were reporters there last night, let me ask you this. The reporters there, and all they do is ask about Wellington Mara and the history of the Giants. Nobody broaches the job security of the head coach and the GM. Do you think that he brings it up?
Probably not.
Exactly.
I don't think that he would. Although, I don't think it would be a bad time to necessarily do that. And maybe he would in a few weeks. It's only 7 weeks in and the record is not good. Here's the why before we get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Here's why. Not only did they make the playoffs the first year. Last year, where things easily could have gone off the rails, they didn't. Some would say to their detriment, to where they had a lower pick or a higher pick, whatever. They would have been able to draft a quarterback had things gone off the rails. They didn't. And, I thought that was a good thing that Dable showed that he could stabilize things even with Tommy freaking DeVito.
Yeah.
Or Tyrod Taylor when Jones got hurt and all the things that were going against the Giants. Even this year, if things were going the way that they looked week one against Minnesota, forget even Minnesota being better than we thought, week one was a freaking embarrassment. So much so that I was even like, hey, if they weren't on the hot seat prior to the season, they should be now. But what happened? They righted the ship. I know they lost week two in Washington. They should have won that game, and they probably won that game 99 out of 100 times. It's circumstance. It happens. Somebody's got to pay the price for that ultimately because they lost. But at least it was a better sign. Then you showed more progress in week three against Cleveland, winning on the road, even where that game started looking like a disaster. Against Dallas, again, frustrating because they could have and arguably should have won the game. They didn't, but still playing better. Seattle, they dominated that game in a spot where most people thought going in, there was no chance they were going to win that game. Bengals, again, defense looked great. Another winnable game. Like, this has not been off the rails disaster. There have been two ugly performances from the Giants. Unfortunately, both at home. Yeah. One to start, and then the last game that we saw against Philadelphia.
Well, I do think you lay that out well. And bullet point by bullet point, you're spot on with what you said. The only thing that I worry about from the gentleman that we're talking about, from their future perspective, is once a narrative, even though ownership did their best to dispel it, and I respect that, but once the narrative starts to get a little out of control, in this city, the voices get loud.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the station, whether it's in the stands. And Mara has not shown the restraint to ignore that, because Joe Judge was not going to get fired until Joe basically got himself fired and everybody started railing on Judge on this station after the season ended, basically, and Mara changed his mind. So he's not immune to doing that. I know he wants it to work. I believe that John believes that he's got the two answers in place. To what degree? That's where I debate the depth of that confidence.
BT and Sal on the Fan of Friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tommy is in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey.
I'm confused as how Daniel Jones has now become the scapegoat of why the Giants lost terribly to the Eagles. And his entire career as a Giant, he's been running for his life. They broke his neck last year because they couldn't block for him. And now all of a sudden he doesn't have the tools or can't throw the ball at these terrible. So, I just...
It's not all of a sudden. It's not all of a sudden. You watch the Giants games, I'm assuming, right, Tommy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you think Daniel Jones is playing good quarterback?
No, but I also think he's not getting good blocking.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's partially true.
Oh my God.
But at what point does
it really stop?
Let me ask you a question, Tommy. At what point, the blocking has been substandard for years, going back to the end of the... We know that. But at what point does that excuse dry up? I mean, we can't talk about this for 20 years.
I get it. I mean,
I don't think you do.
What? You don't think I get it? Wait, well, what makes you think that the season that they blocked for him, they won a playoff game? Okay.
He didn't throw the football. Tommy, they ran the football that year. He was supposed to take the next step with weapons, being able to throw the football. He hasn't proven that he can do that.
Darius Slayton. He had Darius Slayton.
Now he's got Malik Nabers now.
And who else?
Yeah, even like, who else? I know. Thanks for the call. I honestly can't take it anymore. You're right. Who else? Why don't we dig Jerry Rice and Terrell Owens out of retirement? Why don't we get those guys? Like, who else? What do we need? Every great receiver? And then maybe then? Let's go get, where's Willie Rolfe? Let's go get all the greatest linemen that we can possibly find.
It's a random poll.
Yeah. Let's go get all the greatest linemen that we could find. Let's get the greatest wide receivers that we could find. Let's get everything, the best defense ever, and then maybe we could judge Daniel Jones.
Once you get Devontae Adams from the Jets, maybe they'll trade him to him.
Look, the offensive line has been fine. Obviously, last week with Thomas, it took a little bit of a hit. The offensive line has been better. If you watch the games, you know that the line has been playing better this year. The Giants also have some weapons. And by the way, good quarterbacks don't need top weapons.
Yep.
Daniel Jones ain't it. I don't know how many times we got to say it or how many games you got to watch to realize he can't read what play he should be making, what throw he should be making. It's very simple, BT.
He can't throw the ball 15 yards downfield. By the way, the Willie Rolfe pull wasn't that random. That was from the football card game.
It was fresh on my mind.
Digging in an all-time offensive lineman, Hall of Famer. Bottom line is he's not an elevator. He could be a stopgap. He could be, you know, somebody. I could see why the Giants were enticed enough to draft him. Sixth overall, big, strong, pretty decent arm when he's in shorts in terms of just going through the combine stuff. Certainly a good athlete, fast, tough, as we've seen him put down his pads and lower his head to his detriment. It just hasn't worked out. And so you're also right about this. You don't need three or four stars around you to make the offense work. Now, some do. And that's a problem because now if you're a young kid and you've got that first contract and then you could disperse the money a little bit more evenly because you're still on a rookie deal, well, maybe it's a little more palatable. When you're making 40 plus and you're still required to bring in big studs, now the money, that's untenable. That doesn't work.
He's just not good enough. End of story. And I don't understand what it's going to take for some people to see that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And by the way, you could look at all the sacks. Okay, well, if you watch the games, it's not all on the line. It's all on the offensive line. It's also on Jones not being able to see the play when it's there.
A little bit.
Throw the football. Not to mention his inaccuracy when he does try to throw the football down the field. Yeah. It's a combination of being inaccurate, not being able to read the defense, not having enough confidence. Like, it's a mess. Daniel Jones is a mess. However we got here, and this has been building up for years, it's year six. They've done everything they could around him. Coaching, talent, O-line, whatever. It's all there. And he's still not able to throw the football.
I don't know that this is all his fault, and I've never said this on the air. I always talk about his personality, fairly vanilla, but do the Giants as a team have a personality? Do you think they do?
You would think it would be their defense. You're talking about the identity?
Not the identity, just a personality, like an edge, some sort of presence. Like, to me, they don't. Certainly on offense.
Right. If anything, it would be the defense.
Yeah, for sure. But
Would you say that they did with Barkley or no?
Yeah, I thought they had definitely more of an idea. Identity.
Because of Barkley?
Yeah, just had more juice. Just like Daniel Jones. Like, if you're not Uber,
But what about Nabers?
He does, but he's been hurt. And
he's missed a couple weeks.
And they played well without him, and he's a rookie, and it's unfair to think that, you know, even though he has provided incredible juice, I think he's going to be great if he stays healthy. All I'm saying is this. For a guy who is average and in certain spots subpar, and to be fair, in certain spots slightly above average as an athlete running, he just brings nothing to the emotional table. So he's not going to elevate you in terms of those second-level throws and, you know, back shoulder stuff and whatever it might be that we're like, wow, what a throw. He's not going to rev you up emotionally. What is he doing?
Losing.
He's losing.
6 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a row.
I got you.
You get it.
Yeah.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls. Also get back to talking Yankees, too. We did that earlier. We'll change the conversation because we wanted to get to who's most on the line, I guess, in this series? Whose legacy most on the line in the series? I think one player, I know you think another, so we'll have that conversation when we come back. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking a lot of Giants, also talking some Yankees, too. I disagree with you, BT. Yanks, obviously, World Series tomorrow, game one. We'll have tickets to give away tomorrow, so you make sure you want to stay locked in all day. Boomer and Geo, we have World Series tickets to give away, and Evan and Tiki as well. So, I mean, World Series tickets, it's the hottest ticket in town. Yankees are going to come back home for World Series game three. I think that's what we're giving away specifically. And obviously, the Yanks here for 3-4 and then 5 if necessary. I saw your tweet, and I know we mentioned a little bit before. I don't think Jazz Chisholm is going to be that big of an impact. You tweeted saying that if Jazz hits, the Yanks are going to win this series.
Yep.
I think if the Yankees pitch, they're going to win this series. And that's why I think that this series is all about Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was brought here for a reason. We compared earlier, and in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We compared earlier 2017, 2018, 2019, all those Yankee teams compared to this one where Boone thinks this is the best team. Well, the biggest difference, I know Soto's a huge difference, but the biggest difference is the ace atop the rotation, the guy who won the Cy Young Award last year. And that is also the biggest advantage that the Yankees have in this series. On paper, I think the Dodgers lineup is better, but let's just say you call it even, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you give the Yankees and Dodgers even lineups, I still think Dodgers, but even if you want to say even, there is a clear advantage that the Yankees have in the starting rotation, and that's because of Gerrit Cole. If Cole does what he's supposed to do, be an ace, a legitimate ace, which we haven't seen in the postseason, three starts, too bad. If Cole does what he's supposed to do, I think that's what will make the Yankees world champion.
Now, keep in mind, when I put this tweet out, and it's short and simple, it says, as Sal read it, if Jazz has a series, Yankees will be champions. As I'm writing that with the assumption that Gerrit Cole is going to be good. Not amazing, because he has not been amazing. As a matter of fact, three starts, you know, the one has been really good and two have been not Gerrit Cole. So I don't expect him to suddenly turn it back to last year and go out there and have a 1.73 ERA in multiple starts in the World Series against a team that could, you know, drop a 7 or 8 spot against anybody any night. I think that that's unrealistic. What I think is that the Yankees pitching, and really, Sal, think about the start of the season when Aaron Judge was absolutely lost as a hitter in April. And it was a while ago, but let's refresh Yankee fans' minds and baseball fans' minds. Why did the Yankees get off to a great start? Number one, Volpe was terrific, if you remember back in April.
Yeah.
Juan Soto was really good, starting with the play at the plate in Houston.
Yeah,
obviously hitting. And Cabrera had a couple of big hits, and they're starting pitching. Their starting pitching set records in terms of, again, I've said this, fewest runs over 6 innings or whatever it was, but they actually did something
without
historically.
Without Cole, right.
Without Gerrit Cole, who was still on ice at that point. Nestor was good. Rodon answered the bell
Heel
early. Clark Schmidt may have been an all-star. Luis Heel, after a rough March, was dominant after that and phenomenal. So the Yankees pitching has been there all year. I have no reason to think that it will suddenly implode. The one thing that has not been here, not that it can't, but I don't think it will, the one thing that has not been here since he got here has been a consistent Jazz Chisholm. That's why I think he's the key.
Understood. And I guess the reason why I don't believe that, or it shouldn't say that I don't believe, I need to see it to believe it with the Yankee pitching. It has been good all year long. There's been some inconsistencies, but this is going to be their toughest test. Like, this lineup is not, this is not Kansas City, and it's not Cleveland. So you're not getting away with Gerrit Cole the way that you did against Kansas City, the first start out, or against Cleveland. If he has those starts, you're going to lose those games. Gerrit Cole cannot, he's got to pitch. And not only Cole, but then Rodon. And the reason why I bring up Cole is because I expect him to be the best. I can't trust Carlos Rodon. I have no idea what he's going to do. One day good, one day bad. One day dominant, one day embarrassing.
That's totally fair, but you still expect Cole to be the best after you've watched him in the playoffs so far? To be the best?
I think he's going to have to be.
But that's different than saying you still expect it.
Because that's where they have the advantage, where the Dodgers don't have an ace. The Yankees do.
Yeah.
We don't look at Cole maybe the way that we would have 2-3 years ago, or even last year, to be fair. I don't think you could have that same confidence going into the series based off of the way he's performed, but he still has it in him. And if he does perform like that, that's how I think the Yankees win the series. I don't trust Holmes. I don't even trust Weaver as much as I do because of the step up in class that they're going to face in that lineup. But if the Yankees pitch, to me, that's what's going to make them win this series.
All right, I got something for you here. So we always play like the win-loss game. The Giants try to say, I'm going to rip off some names. You just tell me if you think they're going to play well for the Yankees.
Okay.
All right, you think Torres is going to have a good series?
I mean, I do think there's going to be he's got to cool off at some point.
Yeah, so he's on base every single time the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to cool off. So, I mean, good series,
solid, not amazing.
But I think he's going to cool down a little bit.
I think that's fair. Soto.
Oh, yes, dominant series.
Judge.
I think he's going to have a big series, yes.
Stanton.
No, cool down.
You know he's like a 500 hitter at in L.A. against the Dodgers?
Different pitching, smarter pitching. If there's spots where you don't want to pitch to him, even though I don't trust Roberts, I think he's a bad manager, yep. He's better than Vogt, who's just a complete moron. So and if you are going to pitch to Stanton, you can't throw him strikes. Like, okay. Stanton's a guy, Judge you're not getting out for the most part. Soto you're not getting out if you don't throw them strikes.
Kansas City got Judge out with some sliders on the corner.
Yeah, for the most part.
The Guardian series, for the most part, Judge Soto is not getting himself out.
Soto definitely not. Part. Judge for the most part, no. Stanton will get himself out if you don't throw him strikes.
I agree with
at
that.
Times.
So you think he cools off?
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
Rizzo, good series, bad series, what?
That's a great question. I think he'll have a decent series, yeah.
Okay.
I think he'll keep up. You know, Rizzo's a proven vet, World Series winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's hungry for it.
Yeah.
Different animal being a member of the Yankees. You know, experienced Chicago, great, but this is New York. I think he thrives with that. Okay. I think Rizzo's going to have a good series.
Austin
yeah.
Wells.
I think he's going to be. If I'm going to say Torres and Stanton come down a little bit, yeah. I think Wells comes up a little bit.
I like
bit.
It. And finally, how about Volpe?
Yeah, I think Volpe's going to have a good series.
Volpe's OPS in the postseason has been over 800. He's hitting 310. He very easily could hit 400
they're
the way
gonna
he hit into outs.
They're going to hit, dude.
Volpe's swing looks great. Okay, I saved the last one for a reason. You think Jazz Chisholm's going to play well?
I don't.
Okay, so based on what now you said, this started, you disagreed with my tweet.
Right.
Now, if you're right, you just said that you think that Stanton's going to really cool down.
Right.
If Stanton really cools down, and he could,
right.
And Chisholm doesn't really step up, how are they going to win?
Because I think they're going to hit enough. I think those other guys, even if it's a little step down for Glaber, even if it's a little step down for Stanton, the other guys will hit enough. Yankees will hit the Dodgers, whoever it may be.
I think Walker Buehler's starting to find a little rhythm here, man.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler's starting to look
maybe.
A little filthy.
Well,
I mean, I think we're taking some things for granted with some of those pitchers.
Let's put
Yamamoto.
A ball in.
I mean, he's pretty good. Yamamoto.
BT, here's the point. If the Yankees don't hit, they have no chance. If they don't hit, they're going out in 4 or 5. Like, they're going to have to hit to be in this series. I said the same thing about the Mets. The difference is the Yankees lineup should be better than what the Mets had, even with Lindor and Vientos going nuts. Like, I trust those two guys.
Yeah.
And not that they went nuts in that particular series. Vientos, yes. Lindor was fine. But the Mets don't have the other horses behind those two guys. The Yankees do. They have a deep lineup. I think the Yankees will hit the Dodgers. My question is, will the Yankees shut them down, or at least slow them down enough, because the Dodgers are just, I mean, they're impossible.
You're going to have some 7-6 games, 6-5.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing, too, and you could get away with this a little bit the first two series. If the Yankees are running the bases like idiots,
right,
like they have been, and if the pen malfunctions more than once, they're going to lose the series. There is a path to win and a very yep. obvious path to lose. I think it's deep. I think both teams hit, but it's going to be a hell of a matchup.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Joe is in Waldwick, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Joe, good afternoon. Let's Hello, face it. The Yankees have to play a hell of a lot better in this series than the previous two series against the JV team.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't think the Dodgers are going to walk four people and throw two pass balls. The Dodgers catch the ball. Cleveland can't catch it. Shortstop can't catch it. The right fielder. And I don't think Roberts is a brain-dead manager.
He's not very
Cleveland.
Good.
The pitch. The Stanton with first base open.
Yeah
I mean, that was... Vogt had
and
a
I
bit.
I think the Dodgers... And, well, why are the Dodgers so much of a... favorite 130 to plus 110.
Not a big favorite though.
Yankees,
small favorite. Small favorite.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe home field. The odds. It was like minus 130. It's fairly nominal. It's basically. It's not even money, but it's as close to even money as you could get. Maybe they have a little edge because maybe they're a little bit better in the eyes of Vegas. Maybe they've got the extra home game at LA.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons. You can't make a case for either team to be decisive favorites. You just can't.
Best teams don't always win, too. Or the favorites don't always win. So you could say, and I do think the Dodgers are a better team. I think they've proven that all year long. I think they've had a tougher road to get to the World Series than the Yankees. That doesn't matter. This is a best of seven, and the Yankees have a shot to win. Even though I don't think they're as good as the Dodgers, who the hell knows how it plays out? And like I said, I firmly believe, I think this series could be a short one. If we see the ugly side of the Yankees, bad Cole, bad Rodon, bullpen gets beat.
Yeah.
You see the Dodgers' best pitching and the Yankees don't drive in runners in scoring position. Like, they got away with it against Kansas City and Cleveland. They will not get away with that against the Dodgers. So you can make, or at least I can make a case for it being a short series. I don't necessarily anticipate that. But I do think that the Dodgers have more of an advantage just overall, where they don't have to play their A game to beat the Yankees. I do think the Yankees have to play their A game ultimately to win 4 out of 7.
What if we see the bad side of the Dodgers, which, to your point, to be fair, well, has not been as bad as the Yankees' right. bad side, because it played out over the final 100 games or so. Yankees were slightly under 500. Freddie Freeman's not healthy.
Right. That's a fact.
They're going to have to go with a bullpen game, and the way the Yankees have at bats, that is obviously good for right. the Yankees. So it's one thing to have a bullpen game. It's another thing to have an earlier bullpen game within the bullpen game than you thought. And the Yankees' eyes and their ability to grind out quality at bats is going to complicate that.
Yes, and that's why, like, I wouldn't even say, well, the Dodgers' bullpen is good. It is, but Cleveland's was supposed to be the best in the game.
And the Yankees took its soul.
Which means they could
take anybody's soul.
Correct, which is why I think, regardless of who does it, they're going to hit. I just don't know if the Yankees are going to pitch enough to slow down the Dodgers. Jimmy is in Homedale. What's up, Jimmy?
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Good, Jimmy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jim.
BT, gonna give you a little break here. We're gonna go after Sal. BT, right. You and I are connected on social media. We have some mutual friends,
okay.
DK and Cahill.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I got you.
By the way, your boy had an awesome run last week. Maybe he could step in a quarterback.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, get after Sal. Let's hear a little battle here.
Sal, you bother me a little bit, man. You think you're right. You're loud. Daniel Jones has done exactly what has been asked of him. He has had no coaching. He has had no. You throw it out there like it's a joke. Like he hasn't had a line. Sal, he has not had a line in 5 years. He hasn't had a wide receiver, with the exception of Neighbors, in 5 years. Now, I don't want to really talk about the past, but it is historical how horrible this franchise has tried to fix the line and given this man support. It's historical how bad their draft picks are. Why are you yelling?
I can hear you fine, Jimmy. Why are you yelling?
Because I'm pissed off. Yeah. Because I'm pissed off that everyone's putting this blame on Daniel Jones.
Well, you're not just pissed off. There's another word I could use to describe you as well. And I'm not going to say it because I'm a nice guy.
Hold up. Let me finish. 3 years ago, we traded up for a draft pick in the first round. You know what bench he's sitting on? He's sitting on a bench in Rikers Island or wherever jail he's in, because he lost a poker game and then came back and tried to rob everybody and took all their money. It's historical how bad they have drafted, how horrible they have tried to fix this line. So I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Name one. Give me two. I'll ask for two. Can you give me two names that are starters in the current Giants offensive line?
What are you talking about?
Can you give me any?
Are you talking about Jermaine Illuminor, who we've had every week, that we interview every week? Do you know that we talk to him, Jimmy, or you're not paying attention to that?
There's one.
Jimmy,
there's
look,
one.
Ryan, another one. Jimmy, Ryan. I don't need to prove what name Giants offensive linemen to you. I know the Giants offensive line is better, and if you don't, I can't help you with that. Look, if you think, Jimmy, that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, that's good for you. It's been 6 years, and the quarterback that you love has had one good season. And in that good season, he's thrown for 15 touchdowns. That is an embarrassment when you look at it in comparison to the league. And what's the excuse this year? I mean, don't give me this, can you name how many? Guess what? It doesn't matter how many offensive linemen I can name. You don't think the Giants' offensive line has improved this year? Then you can name them all you want. It doesn't matter. They're better this year than they've been in years past. Oh, by the way, you said, when does he get a weapon outside of Malik Nabers? Well, he does have Nabers. So now you're ignoring the big weapon that he has in Nabers this year. And by the way, the Giants were able to win without Nabers. So it just shows you how important a wide receiver really is. But he does have that weapon at his disposal. How's he done? How come the Giants, since Daniel Jones has been here, what's his record in primetime? Maybe Jimmy could name us that. What's his record in primetime? Is that everybody else's fault? It's everybody else. It's the O-line. It's the owner. It's the head coach. It's the lack of weapons. It's not Daniel Jones. By the way, Jimmy, while you're worried about naming the offensive lineman, how many accurate throws has Daniel Jones made down the field? You know who I can also name for you? Brian Boldinger. When you listen to those spots, somehow you listen to BT and Sal, and we appreciate that, but you're also missing the spots that we have with Jermaine Illuminor. You're coming at me. I talk to a Giants offensive lineman every week. Do you? I talk to him every week. I also talked to Brian Boldinger. What does he say every week? Who was it, BT, that we had on that I asked flat out? Was it Casillas? Jonathan Casillas. Play in the NFL.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can name the lineman too. Maybe he can, maybe he can, who knows. Flat out, is Daniel Jones good? His answer was?
No, it's not good.
I rest my case.
To the point where we're actually worried Casillas was going to get in trouble. I would love the honesty. That's very honest here.
Right.
Listen, there's still some
I might be able to
sound.
Name him. I can't pronounce his name. Azuo?
Azuo. Yeah. Get him off the left side. He worked a bit. I mean, as crazy as it is, and thanks for the call there, Jimmy, there's still some people who believe that Jones can be the guy with better circumstances. I understand if it was early on his rookie deal, like me hanging on to Zach.
Right.
It's deal number two.
Right.
It's year number six.
It's over. Like, you'll admit.
Party's over.
He won't admit it. And he just won't admit he's wrong. See, that's the difference. So I will admit if I'm wrong on something. By the way, yes. Going into last year, I was supporting Jones. So much so saying, okay, well, let's see if he could take the next step.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Tiki before you and I were put together. Tiki, I was doing a show with Tiki. You were out, you're on vacation.
I was on my golf trip that year. I remember
and,
that.
And we're talking about it, and he's like, well, this is going to be the year where the Giants are going to start to throw the football more. Like, off of the year that they had successfully with Dable's first year with Jones, mm-hmm. they were able to have success and win games. And they did it large in part to Jones running the football. Well, last year was supposed to be the year where he actually threw the football. Obviously, we all saw what happened. But going into the year, I thought, okay, let's see if he could actually combine what he did in year one to what he did in year five. Now we may have something. And obviously, it fell apart. It would have been year four because last year was year five.
Yep.
Right. He needed to combine what he did in year one and year four, which would have shown us something in year five.
Instead,
it was regression. And then this year, it's even worse. So, like, just give it up. It's over. Wave the white flag.
You can't win.
Yeah, you can't win.
For the top of the stairs. Oh, man. Yeah.
Now, time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, BT, I have a little pack of cards here for you. I think it's your turn. We haven't played in a while. We'll play one here real quick and then get back to the calls at 888-808-1019. 1985 tops, okay?
Ooh, good. Donnie, MVP.
Not That's sure
good,
how many, but let's go.
Mattingly, MVP.
All right, Billy Gardner.
I think he was on the Twins.
Oh,
did I get that?
He's a manager on the Twins.
Let's go.
That's an incredible pull right there. I never heard of him.
Thank you, brother.
All right, George... George Vukovich. I can't see.
Pitcher.
Yeah.
And a good one for the Brewers.
No, not a pitcher. Although that is...
Oh, that's Pete Vukovich.
Yeah.
I wasn't...
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's okay. That's all right. Your Vukovich is confused.
Yeah.
Clay Christensen.
He was a pitcher?
Yes.
I feel like he was on the Yankees for a minute, but hold on. Was he on there in 85? We're doing 85,
85,
right?
85 times. Yes. Yeah.
He was on the Yankees, Clay Christensen.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes,
two out of three. Okay.
Gary Matthews.
Gary Matthews was a...
You definitely know who he is.
Outfielder. Okay, I remember Sunday, that sick
right.
catch.
Yep.
Cubbies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Von Hayes.
Oh!
One of my favorite old school names.
Can I tell you a quick aside about Von Hayes? Phillies, let me just answer the question.
Yes.
Phillies. Okay, so I remember I grew late. I've never really reached 6'3". Like, I was listed at 6'3". I was never really 6'3". Close, but I'm never really 6'3". But I grew late. I think that's the Irish side, you know? And I would say to my dad, you know, because I was thinking high school, college ball, obviously. And my dad would say, don't worry. And my dad's about 6'3". You're going to grow. You're going to grow. You're going to grow. And I remember, like yesterday, we're in the car, the old school radio, and he said, and I asked him again, he said, you know what kind of body you're going to have when you play in college? And I said, what? And he said Von Hayes.
Now, I think like Von was about 6'5".
I think Von was about 6'5". He was definitely
does it
tall.
Say on here? Zoo, can you bring in a magnifying glass so I can see this?
Let me see. Von Hayes was. Oh my God, this is 6'5". I never read 6'5", but it's funny. Von Hayes. All right, so 4 for 5.
Rafael Santana.
The Metsies at this point,
yes,
and then eventually the Yankee. There was a little Yankee trade there for me. Let me see. That's a good one.
Well, it was 85. This was even before the 86 season. 85
he couldn't
top.
Hit it all.
Dick Williams.
Manager?
Yes. Ooh, you're on a heater here. Come on, finish this one.
I'm trying, buddy. Don't start putting pressure on me now. We'll get stage fright. Dick Williams, to me, all right, don't give me any look. I'm not even going to look at you here. I feel like the first thing was Padres. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Dick Williams, definitely not Tigers. That was Sparky. Not the American League East. Not the National League East. I say Padres.
Yes,
let's
Padres.
Go.
Good call. Bill Buckner. Think you're familiar with him?
Ground ball the first. Billy hobbles
the
after. Here
the
comes
man.
Mookie. 7-8. I mean, pardon me. The Red Sox.
Yeah, okay.
What?
Yeah. Mark Bailey.
I think he was a pitcher.
He was not.
Okay. This is a pure guess. Cubs.
Astros.
Damn it.
It's only two down.
7-9.
Steve McCaddy.
Steve McCaddy was definitely a pitcher.
Yes.
No question.
Yes.
I got a couple that popped in visually. I see a little Astros. I see a little Phillies. But I don't think that either one applies. Well, I'm going to say Phillies.
No, neither one applied. You were right. The A's.
Ooh, nah, all right.
7-10. But at least you knew who he was. Mike Ramsey. I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Seattle?
Final answer?
Yeah, it is.
Expos.
Yeah.
Played with the Cardinals and the Expos.
Tough all of a sudden.
Kurt Kaufman.
I remember Kirk McCaskill.
No, not him.
I know Kaufman Stadium.
What team was Kurt McCaskill?
Angels, I believe.
What team is Kurt Kaufman?
Hey, fellow, play for the Angels.
There
now.
You go, BT.
8-12. Thank you for the assist, teammate.
Hey, you got close enough.
BT for the dunk.
George Hendrick.
Oh, Georgie Hendrick. So we're 85. Okay. 85, I believe that he was still on the Cardinals, but hold on. He was an outfielder, lanky, righty hitter.
Played in multiple places.
I know he did.
I can't even see this. This is so
actually
depressing.
In 85, I believe he was off the, I do not think he was with the Cardinals at this point. Because that was more like early 80s with early, I'm going to say the Angels, I feel like he was a part of at this point. Angels? Cardinals? What? Still with the Cardinals.
Yeah, those are the worst
overthought
ones.
Overthought it.
And two more left.
Okay, a little side note for him.
Yeah.
The first one to got the first player to wear the pants all the way down to his cleats.
Really?
Swear to God.
Did not know that.
Yep, and he did it a long time ago.
Rick Waits.
Rick Watts, I believe it is.
W-A-I-T-S.
Indians?
No, Brewers.
Okay.
Although he was, read that, it was with the Indians a long time, right, afterward?
Oh, he was with the Indians for 12 years.
Yeah, so
man.
you were right, but just right there, not in 85, right. He wasn't so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Mercado.
Pirates.
Not Orlando Merced.
Ooh.
Orlando Mercado.
Good catch.
This guy bounced around a lot, and I'm seeing Salt Lake City. And,
yeah, so he wasn't, really established himself anywhere. M-E-R-C-A-D-O, I'm assuming. Not that it matters.
M-E-R-C-A-D-O.
Orlando Mercado. Outfielder, where did he play? Infield? Wasn't a pitcher. I didn't think he was a pitcher. All right, Mercado, backup. Pirates had a steady catcher. Mets had their catcher. Yankees didn't necessarily, but they didn't. He was on the Yankees. Wasn't in the East, I don't think. All right, I'm going to say, I know we got to get it moving here.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies?
You should have went with your format.
What?
Never heard of
West,
them. Yeah.
A's, Giants,
Mariners.
Padres. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Not bad. There was a lot of cards there.
Oof, 8-15.